Hello, I'm Marcus Hiles with the latest edition of the Hiles Files. Does the news really resonate anymore? News is disseminated through such a panoply of outlets these days and consumed so voraciously and digested so quickly, it makes me wonder, are we comprehending the ramifications of everything we see and read? Or are we just operating on a catch-and-release method when receiving news alerts on our phones and scanning the headlines on television or online? It seems like current events are given the same weight sometimes as items of gossip and dispensed with just as easily. Something as monumental as 9/11, I would say, still receives the appropriate massive coverage that it deserves and the weight accorded a titanic news event of that nature. But other than a story or event of such seismic importance, our reaction to most current events is cursory at best. We all do it. An alert comes across our phone about the latest mass shooting or the latest virus outbreak or the latest natural disaster, and we shake our heads in dismay. We might even share the story with a comment about the ominous direction of the world or something along those lines before returning to texting our friends. We see television coverage of a tragedy and stop what we're doing long enough to process the information before moving on, slaves to our schedules. The news value of each story running across our various display screens tends to measure equally due to the sheer volume of data being mentally downloaded on a daily basis. We are temporarily intrigued by an article on the plight of displaced Syrian refugees, but spend an equal amount of time, if not more, on the latest hamburger taste test by a Yahoo staff writer. Mind you, I'm not applying blame for this state of affairs. This is just the place in which we find ourselves. If I'm pointing a finger, then I would have to point one squarely at myself. As technology has advanced and the information revolution has exploded, the appetite for content has become insatiable. Whether that is in the form of news, features, photos, videos, trivia, or the minutiae of everyday life, today's consumption habits are Walking Dead zombie level. And it just makes me wonder, are we taking it all in, or is it spilling over the sides? Is there a desensitizing effect from the constant bombardment? I guess at this point I'm just grateful that some of the horrible things that happen in this world are still considered news. As a broadcast journalist myself, I've heard complaints over the years about all the bad news on the airwaves. Part of my response to that gripe has always been, and still is, at least terrible events are still news. It's when they've become so commonplace that they no longer resonate with us. That's the day I fear. Until next time, I'm Marcus Hiles. Hi, I'm Marcus Hiles with the latest edition of the Hiles Files. Words to my son on his wedding day. And let me preface this column by saying these words are wholly unnecessary. You have grown into such an outstanding young man that I would expect and acknowledge any actions you take in your marriage will be done so with much careful thought and earnest prayer. Please take these suggestions as a token of my love for both of you. All that being understood, here are the pearls my own marriage of 30 years has painstakingly and lovingly produced. Trust and communication are paramount. How can a person's love fully blossom if that affection is tempered by doubt or suspicion? By the same token, how can our loved ones know of our fears and misgivings and seek to reassure us if we do not express them? Anna and I took a few years to nail this concept. There must be buy-in from both parties. Trust each other. Talk to each other. Miscommunication happens, but the effort to clear the air must be swift and open. Always leave the toilet seat down. Do not question the logic of this. Do not argue of shared responsibility. You should have already begun putting this into practice. If you forget, accept the tongue lashing like a man. Pee like a woman if it helps you to remember. Just do it and be happier for it. Fight fair. And you will fight, but you already know this. That's good, though. The initiation into married life has begun. Insults and name-calling have no place, none whatsoever, in a marriage. Make your point, if you feel like you must, in as respectful and understanding a manner as you can. Despite the previous recommendation of surrender regarding bathroom etiquette, do not allow yourself to be emasculated in an argument. That's really not what she wants. Almost without fail, she just wants to know that you're listening to her. In the end, compromise may be the best course of action. Contrary to much political sentiment these days, there is a difference between compromise and submission. And by the way, do listen to her. Even when you've heard it before, even when she's prattling on about her coworkers, even when she's giving you an earful, even when she's reeling off an especially long honey-do list, even when she's wrong, listen with compassion and empathy. Sometimes that's all that's required. Sometimes she'll need more, like words or actions. But the least you can do is listen. Tell her when there's food on her face. Reach across the table and remove lint from her hair. Let her know when her mascara has run. She is a vision. Appreciate her efforts to be gorgeous for you. On that note, never stop looking at your wife. Steal glances at her when she's not looking. Constantly remember why you fell for her in the first place. She's going to get older, if you're lucky. Notice the grace with which she carries herself. Watch the gracious way she converses with others. Isn't she beautiful? You've got this, son. I know you do. It's the measure of any good man to know how to love a good woman. And you are such a good man. You couldn't make me any prouder than I already am. Until next time, I'm Marcus Hiles. Hello, I'm Marcus Hiles with the latest edition of the Hiles Files. I was complaining the other day about some nagging aches and pains generally associated with the aging process. The other party in the conversation replied, "It beats the alternative." This isn't the first time that I have heard this response to a complaint about getting older, and the sentiment takes many forms. Beats being 6 feet under. At least you're breathing. It could always be worse. Or similar reprimands. Well, to be sure, living trumps death in most people's minds. This is hardly an arguable statement. There are a few individuals who would come back with, "Actually, I would rather be in a pine box than to endure one more day with this bunion." I think most of us would agree that, yes, living with our various ailments related to our advancing years is, in fact, preferable to pushing up daisies. But why is that the only alternative? Accept your maladies and don't complain, or death. Take your medicine that slows your metabolism and promotes weight gain without griping, or death. Withstand their arthritis pain without a peep, or death. Gee, can I just groan a little? You could be dead. Is that what you want, you ingrate? What I want is a chance to vent just a tad. Expressing my frustration at my sore back is not a declaration that I am no longer happy to be alive. Can a person bemoan a lack of treatment for their headaches without being reminded that death's worse? And while I'm on the subject of complaining, there's another common interaction among us humans that is mildly irritating to me. Surely you've asked someone how they're doing only to be told, "Can't complain, and it wouldn't do any good anyway." Actually, that's not exactly true. Experts on customer service have said retailers would rather hear complaints than lose customers. Unfortunately, most consumers simply stop patronizing a store if they are unhappy with the experience rather than filing a complaint. By complaining, hopefully in a polite manner, the customer could bring about positive change to the business. Also, complaining is a form of release, and blowing off some steam can be a therapeutic activity. My long-suffering, abiding wife, Anna, has had to listen to my rants over the years, knowing full well I'm not asking for her to resolve whatever issue I may have. Rather, I'm in need of her ears and understanding face to absorb my tirade. Not to mention, it's not unusual at all for me to happen upon a solution to my problem while verbalizing the grievance. Let's be clear. I'm not advocating daily whining sessions to your coworkers or loved ones, or living a life of dissatisfaction about your plight. I agree with Stephen Hawking when he says, "People won't have time for you if you're always angry or complaining." Or this adage, "If you're not going to put forth any effort to change it, don't waste your efforts complaining about it." So true. But give me a little leeway. Let a person have a teeny tiny pity party once in a while. It doesn't mean I need to be reminded of my mortality. Until next time, I'm Marcus Hiles.